Okay, hearing none, let's move to the next one. Item number five is question and answer session for nominees submitting application packets for the voting member vacancy representing small business interests. And Pam, you have let me know that Richard Stolis has withdrawn.
Yes.
Is that correct? So.
Correct, due to family emergency.
Richard has withdrawn at this point, and do we have Larry on?
Not look like Larry's on at this time. Trying to reach him, see if he's having any issues.
Well, if we don't have him on, we can move, because we do have Charlotte Gilpin here with us today in person.
Okay, we'll go ahead with Charlotte and then.
Yeah, let's go ahead and, gosh, this room is kind of awkwardly situated.
Switch to your side.
Yeah, or I'll come over there. Yeah, why don't you come sit here so that other people can see you besides us. All right, thank you for coming to visit with us today. I do have a few questions that I'd like to start off with. The first question I have for you, Charlotte, is tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, let's start in kindergarten.
And I want to make sure y'all tell us if you can hear her. If you cannot, let us know, please.
Yeah, if I need to speak up, please let me know. I moved to Texas in 2002 and have been working in stormwater practice. That was shortly after I graduated. So about the same time started working, and my career is focused in stormwater management. I live in Austin, have two small children, and kind of pride myself on teaching them already at this age about, you know, infrastructure and what's around us and what impacts us. But I started my career working with some smaller municipalities in the Central Texas area. And one of the first projects I worked on was some litigious activity between the city, a small business, and an adjacent subdivision. And it was all about developed their stormwater and didn't detain properly. And channels were flooding and structures were flooding. And that was one of the very first things I had worked on. And it definitely opened my eyes beyond what we had learned in school from, you know, our modeling and the approaches, but it came to kind of brought back to the policy and the planning aspect of it. So I've always through my 20 years of stormwater management and a career have tried to walk those two paths together of the engineering approach and the problem solving with, you know, the reality of how things get implemented in the community and the practices. So that's a little bit just about me, what my interests are, and a little bit of history.
Very nice, thank you. Tell us, what do you know about us and what we're trying to do here?
So as I was preparing for this interview, it actually became a little bit more overwhelming than the external place that I was comfortably sitting of following Water Development Board newsletters and updates and where we are with tasks and kind of, you know, where the flood planning groups are with deliverables. So I, you know, again, being in the industry, I am lightly following what this group and all of the groups across the state are doing. I think it's an extremely exciting thing to see happening in our state to be bringing this all together. That said, it's, you know, an idea is easy to have, and the implementation and practice and understanding even just how each of the tasks that have been laid out are going to fit together, how to organize that, and the stakeholder engagement, just seeing, you know, how few public comments there are on things that have been put out. So I don't want to oversell my knowledge of exactly what's in the details of everything this group or even the Water Development Board has put out for guidance. I am familiar and aware, prepared to step into that at a deeper level. But I'll say just, you know, superficially from, you know, working to get familiar with where this group is with, you know, right there at task five and kind of going back to see what's been done. The thing that does stand out to me is the public engagement. And it always, again, coming back to like that policy side and seeing how things are really implemented from community to community. That is a concern that the plan is going to represent what it needs to represent in order for projects to be successfully implemented on the back end.
Okay. Next thing I have is, you probably know that we all represent various different groups, and this position is to represent small businesses. How do you think you'd go about doing that?
So, I think I would really want to start with the group's consultants and understand their public engagement plan and what has been done to date. And, you know, whether it's a just ubiquitous strategy that's been applied for all of these groups or how that's being done. You know, I just kind of see from reading through some of the different documents, there seems like there have been at times where perhaps a planning group member will offer to engage and do some outreach to entities. I feel though at a from a small business perspective, that seems quite challenging because it's not as though there's a singular association to reach out to. So I don't have an answer for that. I mean, other than really starting with this an approach of just learning what has been done, maybe learning more how these types of things are implemented on the on the water supply planning side. Just to try to hone in on an effective strategy and help where I can.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would have had a good expectation of an answer at all, to be quite honest with you.
But I would like to hear everyone's answer because I'm sure there's some nuggets in there to learn from.
Well, just as an example, I represent water utilities, and that's pretty easy because I know where they are and who they are and
right.
That sort of thing.
There's a phone list and contacts and people in positions.
I understand.
I think it really ends up being a representative, like our agriculture, she can't contact everybody.
Right.
And so I think there has to be this, but do you have enough familiarity and do we have enough that you feel like you're adequately kind of representing the spread? And
Well, I mean, I can get every river authority in our planning group together anytime I want to.
When can you get them to agree?
Never.
How about, if that's the case only with the river authorities, how about the public's perception?
Well, you know, one of the I think that continuing to work toward outreach and so forth is it's possibly going to be one of our biggest tasks that we're running across because first of all, while most everyone that is directly involved understands water supply planning, which is kind of similar. I'm not sure that everybody knows we exist or why they should care at this point. And so that's been a little bit of a difficult thing in trying to get that word out. We meet primarily every fourth Thursday, but that's not necessarily set in stone. But we meet pretty much every fourth Thursday and at 10 a.m. And it's going to become a great deal more tasking for all of us over the next several months. What kind of commitment to attend can you give us?
Yeah, 100%. So tomorrow I let Pamela know I have a quarterly management meeting for my small business with our owners. But I've already spoken with them that, you know, hey, if I'm selected to serve on the committee, we will have to reschedule our next quarterly meeting. And that's that. And everybody's like, yeah, great, no problem. My other commitments, I mean, especially knowing that there's a set schedule and date, you know, absolutely can schedule around that. But you know, I would assume it's more than a commitment of just showing up to the meeting, right? So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Also committed to doing my homework and being prepared to participate.
Yeah, absolutely. And
For the most part, I think the way that we function as a group is we really thrive on making certain that everyone is commenting and everyone is participating, because we certainly want to hear what all everyone has to say. So I'm going to ask you a question, then I'm going to qualify it a little bit, okay? And that is, what do you know about flooding and flood mitigation? And let me tell you why I'm qualifying that a little bit, because I personally know a bit about flooding and flood mitigation because I used to be a certified floodplain administrator, but that knowledge is 20 some odd years old, and I haven't done that in quite a long time. But we have some people who really, really understand flooding and flood mitigation, and some people who really don't so much, but they represent their folks. Tell me a little bit about the depth of your knowledge on flood mitigation.
Yeah, that's so broad, so I might ramble here.
Go right ahead.
I mean, so yeah, the question of what do you understand about flooding? I think there's a few ways that you could approach what flooding means. You know, there's just the reality, the changing reality of our resiliency against flooding and what we maybe have more historically known or understood within our communities, right? The farmhouse on the banks that's been there for forever and hasn't flooded, and now it's flooding. You know, so I think what we know about flooding is changing, right? It's not a static thing. And I think that's a whole challenge in itself on how to communicate that to the public, to inspire them to be engaged at their local level, and then why it matters also to be paying attention to what's happening at the state level. You know, there's the technical science side of it and the technology, which even within my career is just, I mean, year after year, it's leaps and bounds, the differences in the way we can approach this and, you know, refine. I even hate to use the word accuracy when it comes to flooding or anything like that, but refine our understanding and our estimates. You know, I think like the first flood study in mitigation that I worked on, one of them was for a small community to just catalog from the public what are the issues that we have in town? Where are we having flooding? What do you think the cause is? How often do you see this happening? And just walking around with an old camera and making photo logs, and you know, and now there's so much digital data out there and better ways to interact with the public in a larger group. So there's basics like that that have changed and helped us get a better grip and understanding flooding, you know, from better precipitation understanding and that type of the H&H modeling aspects of it. I have a good bit of familiarity with that, but at a much smaller scale than right the entire lower Brazos. So that's something that I have a strong familiarity and practical hands-on application doing. But at this scale, there are certainly things that I would need to learn to ask kind of targeted questions to help. You know, I think part of the role of the committee is to question, is the approach we're doing the right way, and question the consultants and what they're providing and servicing the group with. So I'm prepared to step into that.
You know, I heard her, her technical ability in my book is sealed, because I heard her use the word H&H. So if she knows what
H&H,
we're good to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was, yeah, engineers slip into engineer mode. I try really hard not to use acronyms.
I'm not so far gone that I didn't know what she meant. you know, one of the things about our particular region is that we're enormous, and it is it's so diverse that we've broken ourselves up into four pieces or something like that. I mean, we go all the way from like essentially Surfside Beach up through like the Fort Bend County area, which has all sorts of levees and so forth, and then this area, which has the flash flooding, and it's like almost a Breckenridge where I don't know that it ever rains or something like that. So I mean, we're a little bit.
Yes.
Do you have a wide range of experience like that?
Yeah, again, I do not want to oversell my experience, but I have had the privilege of working mostly on actually TxDOT projects, but all across the state. So working in the western districts and regions where you're flat, Playa Lake kind of, everything's going to flood if you build another square foot of sidewalk, and whose fault is it and where does the water go kind of thing. Had the opportunity to work on like some 2D modeling and problem solving approaches there, really just for that. Like it's so flat and it rains so rarely, but when it does, everything's suddenly flooding. And how do you figure out why? Or, you know, everybody wants to know whose fault it is. But the bigger question is like, what's causing it, and what solutions can we put out there? So I've got some of that experience. You know, the biggest bulk of my experience is our flash flood alley area. You know, where I think my experience there, I just keep coming back to the public, but it's year after year, every couple of years, we have these catastrophic flood events and everybody wants to see a change, and we get some legislation passed and have a lot of success. And then, you know, 3 years later, people have forgotten about it, except, you know, for the people who lost their homes and lives. And then moving down towards the coastal region, I have less experience, but also have some project experiences with the bayous and levee systems. And again, you're just dealing with flatter than flat, and how do we move the water and protect everything? I do not have coastal engineering experience, you know, read some studies, kind of vaguely understand that practice, but I'm pretty diverse with the geographies and climatic changes across the state, which is truly very diverse.
Okay. All right, committee, what questions do you have that I missed out on?
I think, Chair, you pretty much answered. I think, you know, being an engineer and CFM as a licensed professional engineer working on TxDOT projects, I think she's well familiar, and being on the corporate side, working as a controller, or she understands the business. So I heard that her commitment of attendance is for our meetings is confirmed right there. I think, you know, I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Yeah, I would echo that. I can't think of any questions beyond what you've asked. I appreciate your focus on the public outreach aspect, because it's going to be a big part of this. And I do think we've yet to really nail down exactly how we're going to get that stakeholder feedback. And so I think that's something that I know that I want to approach, even as just the River Authority representative, but it's what I do, you know, for BRA besides this type of stuff. And it's something that interests me. So, you know, that's something I really appreciate that you notice and kind of want to work on, because I think it is going to be one of the challenges and one of the bigger things that we have to do as this group.
I represent municipalities, and I would kind of coach you on that, because you're going to be the only voice for small business. So if you don't shout out what you and your constituents believe are in their best interest, we won't hear it. So that's kind of what I would want to throw out to you as some advice as you come into the group. And I think you're totally qualified, and I'd love to have you as part of the group.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And no worries about me speaking up. I can be
full disclosure, I've known Charlotte probably 20 years now, at least, and our career paths have passed in many things, both public work and volunteer, and can vouch in every aspect of what she just represented for herself and more. So I have no questions.
Very good. Do you have any questions of us?
I do. I mean, it's such a big effort that y'all have. Feel like there's probably no end to kind of the knowledge that you can gain through doing this. And I guess I'm kind of curious for how you all are personally managing that with getting to know the other members in the group. You know, it's still respecting the, public meetings and everything else, and how you're really getting this done.
I think that it's been a little bit of a challenge, to be real honest with you, because
this is the first time we've been in the room together.
Yeah. actually.
Yeah, sprinkle pandemic on top of this.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm leading the meeting, and if I can't be here, then she's leading the meeting. And so we just don't normally ever even end up. And so, I've known Matt for years and met Anthony the other day when Anthony came to a meeting that I was in. And Sujeev, I don't know that I've ever met you in person. I can't remember. But we kind of have had to work with each other on issues. But I'll tell you that the group itself, I think, has hit its stride on being able to interact with one another and actually being able to build on each other's questions and so forth. So I think it's great. We keep ourselves at the minimum number of folks because I think it's real important for everyone to be able to be heard. I'm a part of Region H, the water planning group. There's so many of us. I'm not sure we all fit in this room. You guys tell me if you disagree, but I think that we actually have done very well to be in this kind of a format.
Yeah, it was difficult. I mean, we kicked this off and we were full COVID. And so nobody knew how to do that. And then at first it was bad. And then we all realized, you know, he lives in Galveston and we got people scattered all the way up. And we're like, oh, maybe phoning in isn't so bad. But I know, you know, I think we've done pretty good considering what we're doing. And I feel like we're learning a lot about personalities. But I'm looking forward to, we've got what we're kind of referring to as the road shows coming up where we're going to actually go out four or five different stops. And I'm hoping to overlap with a few more of these folks in person and just have some time where we have that opportunity. And that's why I'm also fortunate that we haven't had much turnover, so that some of our folks that are quieter or just learning, you know, are getting more comfortable in their surroundings to speak up a little bit more and ask questions. So I think considering what we've been doing, it's amazing, but it's also been a little rockets and roller skates because how fast they want to do everything.
Yeah.
So
that's
sorry, I didn't mean to step on you.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I would agree that even given what we've dealt with not being in person and not really getting to see each other and the typical things for, you know, a group like this where you're actually in a meeting room together, that we've progressed really well in a really short period of time. I think sometimes there's a tendency with, you know, if you look at the water planning side, to just kind of rubber stamp what the consultant brings you. And if you watch our meetings, that's not what this group does. You know, this group questions and discusses and, you know, really gets into things, I think. And I think that's good. And I think it shows that we're, you know, given everything that we're dealing with, doing the best we can, trying to push this process along really, really quickly.
Anything else that you have for us?
That's the biggest thing.
Sujeev.
Yes, sir. I think, Charlotte, you know, we got to do our process, but you know, like you, I'm also a fellow engineer, heavily involved in the H&H modeling. I've done a lot of flood insurance studies and also for some rivers. It's a challenge right there, but I think, you know, with your knowledge right there, we got to steer the ship to the right path of the goals of what are being assigned to us. And even though we are a diverse group right there, everyone brings in their expertise of trying to see what got to be done with respect to the bigger picture. You know, I may be going astray, someone will bring it back, but I think, you know, even though we don't, we are virtually right there, people do pick it up and ask follow-up questions as the chair laid out. It works pretty good right there. You know, me, I haven't been there. Maybe one of these days I'll drive down to Waco. I've been in that room, boardroom right there, but I think you'll find it pretty challenging to an extent, because you're going to be coming in place right now, if everything works out, you know, some of the studies or the material data has been gathered. I think this will help out because of your background. The assimilation part would be a lot quicker for you. And in terms of interaction, I guess, you know, sometimes being virtually, you can poke and say, hey, shut up, or, you know, you can't do, but at least, you know, it works out the best.
I appreciate that.
What else do we have to talk about here?
Did you have other questions for us?
You know, I don't know that the question's appropriate for now, but the other thing that was aside from the public engagement we talked about, the other thing that was really catching my attention was just the large rivery focus on this, and very curious how things are going to come down to like a more smaller regional or local level.
Welcome to Anthony and Mine's Club.
Yes.
So I was wondering if it's kind of just gone that direction more naturally because of these consultants that are working are the same kind of people who have been working on the water supply plans, and so they bring kind of the same approach. And is it because there's not enough local engagement that's not been a focus, or
you see it start coming in with some of the local engagement? We're starting to see the counties and cities and stuff, right? So the riverine in a lot of cases is a lot better known, and our consultant does have a lot of experience in that. But you know, that's part of sort of beating the bushes and trying to get cities and counties and others to respond. And whether it's small business, I think there's several of these aspects we're struggling to get. But we know, and you know, Brandon's experience as a city manager is familiar with, you know, what it's like to be, you know, off riverine and realize, wow, you could still really flood and have a lot of risk. So I think it's something that what we're hearing is all the groups are somewhat struggling with, okay, right? But it's definitely on the radar, and there's a process. And so we're almost at that step where they're going to bring us that first dump of projects. And I think you'll see, and then what they refer to the flood quilt, and that flood quilt will be ubiquitous across basically everything drains more than a square mile. So you'll see that intersection, and I think we'll get a more accurate representation.
Okay. Yeah, I was focusing in on that just because the thought of, I mean, really that's where small business stakeholders are going to have input, really, at the smaller level.
Sujeev.
Yes, I want to echo what Alicia said, Charlotte. I think apart from the riverine, all the smaller entities have given whatever the projects they're working on the local level. So there's a database being compiled to see what are the ones which are going to benefit, but that iterative process is going to begin down the line.
We're going to talk a little bit tomorrow about challenges of getting that information, but to some extent.
Okay. So. Good. That's all I had. There's anything else for me?
Any follow-ups from anyone? Very good. Well, thank you very much. I think we'll have to ask you to step out for a bit, but we will make a decision here in just a short bit. So we'll invite you back in.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Do you have a place to hang out?
I'll just go sit in the chairs at the front.
Right on the front. And the break room back here. I'll start over the break room.
There you go.
Another snack, sorry.
And do we have our other candidate? Or
He should be. I just texted him and said, you know, he can go ahead and log on. So hopefully he'll pop up.
So just reminder, this is still public and recorded.
It is. Yeah, we're not in executive session at this point.
So hopefully what she was saying that y'all couldn't hear was that Larry should be logging on here shortly.
Yes.
Okay.